And I know there are a few people here, so don't be too disappointed. What you can do is you can kind of listen and see if there are other things that God might have for you today. Or you could really pray that God would use this time to bless our Arlington brothers and sisters. The reason why I'm repeating this sermon, this particular sermon, this semester as we began a new year, is because this is our theme, and other pastors thought that it would be helpful if I preached from this passage. And so we're kind of taking a one-weekend break from going through the Gospel of John chronologically, and we're going to land on John 15, because John 15 is the sort of the classic passage that talks about abiding in Christ. So if you have your Bibles with you or your devices, please turn with me to John chapter 15. I will be reading from verse 1. We'll read to verse 11. John 15, verses 1 through 11. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Amen. This is God's word. We're looking at this passage again because this is our theme for the year. And towards the end of last year, the pastors got together and we kind of reflected on your 2018. We thought about 2019, and we want so much for God to move in our midst. We want to see people change. We want to see us grow as a church, and we want to see God use us to do like amazing things here in the DMV and beyond. And as we thought about that, we landed on this passage and this theme because Jesus says here explicitly that unless we, the church, abide in him, we can do nothing. And so rather than rush into things and trying to make things happen, we thought for a season in our church's life, we want to pause and make sure that we are abiding in Christ. And so that's what we're doing today. And the passage that we read this morning is one of the I am statements that Jesus talks about. And last fall, we already talked about how Jesus said, I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world. Now, these I am statements are really helpful because Jesus is trying to teach us or show us who he is by using simple pictures, like simple imageries. So when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, Jesus is saying, well, through me, you actually can see the truth, or you really can know the ultimate reality, or you really can have joy, because that's what lights do. So here when Jesus says, I am the vine, and you are the branches, Jesus is saying, I think, one crucial thing. He's saying, you, if you're my disciples, I am the vine, you're the branches. And he's saying, you are now connected to me. You are part of me. You are an extension of me. Now, that's really important because Jesus, if you think about the vine and the branch imagery, it's not like branches are trying to attach themselves to the vine. No, Jesus is saying, you are already attached if you are my disciple. And Jesus gets at that from different angles. He says, as Father has loved me, I have loved you. He says, you are already clean because my word is in you. What Jesus is getting at is, if you are my disciples, you are already connected to me. I have entered into your life. Now, some of us think that Jesus was a great teacher, and he was. But teachers only instruct their students. Some of us might think Jesus was a great leader, but leaders only influence their followers. Jesus is saying much more. He's not just saying, I'm your teacher, although he was, I am your leader, and he was that. But Jesus is saying, no, I have now entered into your nature. You are part of me, and I am part of you. And in fact, if you, in verse chapter 14, this is exactly what Jesus says. He says in chapter 14, my Father is in me, and I am in you, and you are in me. And then he says, abide in me. That's what Jesus is getting at. We are now, as his church, as his people, if you have placed faith in him, he's saying, you are part of me. Like, I am in you and you are in me. Now abide in me. So two things I want to share briefly this morning. One, why do we need to abide in Christ? And then secondly, how do we do that? Why and how? Okay, why? So let's read a few verses from chapter 15 one more time. Verse 1, he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Okay, we'll pause there. What is Jesus getting at? What is the outcome of abiding in Jesus? Like, why do we need to do this? Well, Jesus here says pretty explicitly a few times, unless you abide in me, you will not bear any fruit. But if you do abide in me, you will bear fruit. So the goal of abiding in Jesus, goal of walking with Jesus, following with Jesus, being intimate with Jesus, is that we might bear fruit. Now, this is, when I thought about this is pretty amazing, because in the Old Testament, God would call his people, Israel, his vine. But unfortunately, they produced no fruit. And so there was a lot of condemnation that God gave to the Israelites because they didn't abide in God. And there were no fruits that displayed God's glory. So here Jesus says, I am the true vine. Not like the Israelites, I am the true vine. Now you would expect perhaps Jesus to say, I am the true vine, and now I will show you what fruit looks like, or I will display God's glory, or I'm going to bear much fruit for God. That's not what Jesus says. Jesus says, I am the true vine. And then he says, you are my branches. Abide in me. And he says, through you, I'm going to bear fruit. Like, he's saying, because we are part of him and we're extension of him, he is going to display his glory through us. Like, he's not trying to bear fruit on his own. He's saying, no, you are part of me. You are part of me. And it's through you I'm going to bear fruit. And it's through you I'm going to do God's will. I mean, that's what Jesus is saying. That's amazing that we get to participate in who Jesus is and what he wants to accomplish in this world. And so the question that we want to ask briefly is, what is this fruit about? What is this fruit? And I think we can categorize it into two categories. One, I think fruit here, he's talking about some kind of character, because in chapter 14 and chapter 15, he says this. In chapter 14, verse 27, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. And then chapter 12, verse 11, he says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you. And then verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. What is Jesus talking about? He's saying, as you abide in me, these qualities like love and joy and peace will be part of your life. And this is so important because isn't it true that if we can have these qualities to a greater measure in our life, that so much of our relationships with others will get better. This past Friday, my small group, the small group that I'm part of, Berg Fairfax small group, we studied this passage, and we went around, and we said, hey, what kind of fruit do you want to see in your life? And I think there were like 7, 8 of us, and we went around, and most of everyone actually said, I want to see more peace in my life. And each one kind of said, I just feel like I'm lacking peace. I'm always anxious, and I'm not at peace with myself. And, you know, people went around, and I guess we have an anxious small group, and, you know, we just kind of paused there, and we just kind of thought, wouldn't it be amazing if this year, as we abide in Christ, that we really have the peace that Jesus has for us? That's what Jesus is promising, that our character will change. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, Paul writes about this fruit of the Spirit, right? And if you grew up in the church, some of you, I'm sure, memorized these verses. Paul says, here's the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Jesus is saying, if you abide in me, these things will be true of you. This is important because I think so many of us, including myself in our small group, as we talked about, you know, we want to grow, or we want to be better. You know, we want to be more loving. You know, we want to be someone who is like full of joy. But we try hard and we only get so much. You know, we get so far. And maybe we feel like, oh, it's not changing. We get discouraged. What Jesus is saying is, if you abide in me, your heart will change. Like your desires will change. You'll have more love and joy and peace. And this is, I think, one of the main differences between the gospel and religion. Religion says you really have to try hard to be a good person, be a person who loves people. Gospel tells us that we can't do it on our own. We can't change our hearts. We're deeply flawed. We're deeply broken. And only way that we can truly change inside, that you really become a like loving person, not just trying to do act of love, but you really become a loving person or a person who's filled with peace, is when you abide in Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit working through your life, that you become a person like this, someone who is filled with love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness. And this is what happens when we abide in Christ. So that's the first thing. First thing about the fruit. But there's a second thing, because when you read a bit down in chapter 15, Jesus says in verse 16, he says this: you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. In Matthew, Jesus said, go and make disciples. Here Jesus says, go and bear fruit. And so another category about bearing fruit is being effective in what God's called us to do. Like being effective in evangelism, or being effective in making disciples, being effective in what God's called us to do. And that's fruit. And as we abide in Christ, that kind of fruit will be produced in my life and in our life together. And it's not a coincidence that Jesus intertwines prayer with that kind of fruit, because in verse 16, he goes on to say, and go and bear fruit, and your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Again, a little bit earlier in verse 7, he said, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. So if you want to be a fruit-bearing Christian, that you want to be effective in what God's called you to do, loving people, making disciples, whatever it might be, whatever God's calling you to do, like prayer has to be intertwined with that. And I am really personally encouraged that, like, prayer, the temperature of prayer, I feel like is going up at our church. We have the monthly prayer meeting. We call it the Watch. If you have not been out to one, I want to encourage you to come out. It's just extended time of worship and prayer, and it's so good. We're just praying for people, praying for God to work, praying for one another, praying for this region, praying for our missionaries. We're just praying. We have, I know some of you guys gather here in Arlington before the service, You guys gather, although it's a small group of people, you guys are gathering together to pray for God to work. I mean, those things are signs of, I think, what God wants to do through you and through this church. Just this past weekend, and that's a week ago, our leadership team had a retreat, and like first thing that we did was we got there, we worshiped, and we just prayed. And you know, I asked if they would raise their hands like Moses in Exodus chapter 17, and we just got together in a circle, and we had our hands up, and we just prayed for maybe 5 minutes until our arms were hurting too much. But we just prayed, and we just said, let's pray for anything and everything that you could think of about this year. And we just prayed. Because we know that prayer is intertwined with our effectiveness in bearing fruit for God's kingdom. We want to become a praying church. And when I hear people wanting to pray, it excites me because it's the Spirit of God moving in your soul to like wanting to be part of something that God is doing. So fruit, your character, fruit, bearing effectiveness in for God's kingdom. And just want to say one more thing about bearing fruit here, and I think this is important because it's in John 15, verse 1, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. And then he says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And then Jesus says, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So we're called to abide in Christ, and we're supposed to bear fruit. But Jesus here says, if there's no fruit in your life, like you'll be taken away. And so I think we could take that as this. I think we could take it as, if you've been around the church or Christians for a long time, like 10 years, and you see no change in your heart, there's no desire to like share your faith with someone else. There's no desire to read God's word. There's no desire to serve the church. There's no desire to like serve the poor. There's no desire at it. There's no change. Then we should ask ourselves if we really are connected to the vine. Because if we're connected to the vine, his life will flow through us and we will change and our desires will be shaped by him. So Jesus, I think the question is a warning. If there's nothing like that going on, then we should probably examine our hearts. But I want to focus on the second thing that he says here, Jesus says here. He says, if you do bear fruit, right, and every branch that does bear fruit. So this is someone who is like changing, who is seeing God working in their life. Jesus here says, God comes along and he prunes. Yeah, think about this. Jesus says, every branch that bears fruit. Like every branch. So if you're a follower of Jesus, if you're following Christ, and you're seeing things in your life, there's desire to read the word, and you wanna come early to pray, you wanna share your faith with your friend. I mean, all these things are happening, and you wanna serve, and things are happening, and you think, what, God's working in your life. What Jesus here says, what you can expect next is pruning. Okay, what you can expect from God is pruning, meaning, you know, when we're doing well as a Christian, like we expect God to continue to bless us. But Jesus here says, you're doing well, but God comes along, he prunes you. So what, I mean, pruning is, like in our neighborhood, you know, we have these neighbors that they have these trees and throughout the years, you know, some of the branches get rotten and they die. And so once in a while, they hire these companies to come and they just literally trim down or chop down this tree to a point where all you see on the ground, like, is branches and leaves. And you look up at this tree and it's really bare because so much of its branches have been chopped down, trimmed, or pruned. What God is saying is, if you are bearing fruit, God comes along and he prunes you. Things that are maybe unnecessary in your life, things that are hindering your growth, he prunes you so that you can bear more fruit. And that's sort of the part of the Christian journey. Like, you do well, but God comes along and he prunes us. again, at our leadership retreat, you know, we kind of prayed, and one of the sisters prayed, God, we give you permission to prune us this year. And when she prayed that, like in my heart, in my gut, I was like, oh, are you sure you want to pray that prayer? Because you're basically inviting God to like take things away that are not necessary in our church life or in your life or in my life. And sometimes that comes as hardships. You know, God comes and takes things out from your life. And that could be painful. But what Jesus says here is every branch that bears fruit, God comes and prunes so that you will bear more fruit. So I just want to encourage you, if there are some of you here today that you are sensing God's pruning hand in your life, that means that God wants to grow you and refine you. You know, there's this pretty well-known verse in book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12. The writer says, our Father disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. So if there are some of you here and you just sense God's pruning you, or you feel God's pruning hand in your life, things are getting taken away or chopped off and it's painful, I just want to encourage you that it's God's loving hand in your life so that you might bear more fruit. All right, the second point, this will go much quicker. How do we abide in him? So, you know, the result of abiding in him is that we bear fruit, and that's what God desires for us. How do we do it? Just two things really briefly. Verse 7, Jesus says, if you abide in me and my word abide in you. Now, several times Jesus said, if you abide in me and I abide in you. If you abide in me and I abide in you. But here Jesus says, if you abide in me and my word abide in you. And so I think what we can take away from this verse is how practically Jesus abides in us is through his word. Like his word and Jesus himself interchangeable. So how do we stay connected to Christ? Or how do we abide in Christ? How do we draw from him, his strength? How do we do that? Well, we have God's word abiding in us. What does that look like? I mean, it's, you know, reading the word, reading the Bible. And you could do that in many ways. You could do that, like someone from my small group shared that he just started doing that in car, like, while he's driving. His commute is hour long, so he plays or he listens to audio Bible, and he says, man, he's like getting a ton from scripture. And then he said, but I've been reading through the Old Testament, it's like, and he said, it's not that encouraging. So he switched over to the New Testament. He goes, okay, I feel a little bit better. But it's like, you know, Bible reading, it can be done in so many different ways. You could do that before you go to sleep, you could do that when you wake up in the morning, but it's just reading scripture. But it's not only breath, like reading widely, but it's also reading deeply, you know. And so that's things like reflection and meditation, and some of you do that in your small group. You're studying it together, thinking about what this verse means, and try to apply it. I mean, all those things matter. And it's as we do that, Jesus is saying we're abiding in Christ, or he is abiding in us. As I thought about this, reason why that's important is because Scripture tells us that God's word has power. It's like no other book. We read it, Hebrews chapter 4 says, it's living and active. Like that word active is energy. It has power. It's like a double-edged sword that can pierce into our hearts. It has power to change us. So that's why taking in Scripture is so important. As I thought about this for you and for me, a parable came to my mind, and it's a parable from Mark chapter 4. And it's a simple parable, and most of you have heard it before. It's a parable about a sower who plants seeds, and is scattering seeds, and the seeds fall on different soil. The first soil is hard path. The second soil is rocky soil. The third soil has thorns. And then the fourth soil, it's a good soil. The word of God gets planted in these soils, but only one soil is able to produce fruit. I think it's important for us as we try to think about how do we abide in Christ. The third soil, Jesus says, has a lot of thorns. And Jesus says that because the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of the riches and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves to be unfruitful. So I think it's not just hearing God's word or reading the word of God, but we're also trying to unclutter our hearts so that our hearts will be like the good soil, so that when God's word comes in, that it would produce fruit. So for some of us, abiding in Christ might begin with us removing certain things in our life. This is not you're busy and you're doing tons of things and your heart's cluttered with many things and let me just add one more thing to my life. That's not what Jesus is talking about when he says, abide in me. Like, abide, you can only abide in one thing fully. And what Jesus is saying is, my word has to be, like, it has to come into your life. And in order for that to happen, where it produces fruit in your life, you need to take away stuff, other desires, or maybe cares of the world, a deceitfulness of riches. Not that these things are terrible or evil, but Jesus says that these things often choke the word of God that's in us. So for some of us, our first step might be, man, I need to clear some stuff in my life so that when I hear the word of God or when I study it, read it, it comes in and my heart is a good soil where it will begin to penetrate and produce good fruit in our life. Again, friends, I'm repeating myself, but this is so important because everything that you do, everything that you become needs to be an extension of who Jesus is. And we need to, some of us need to just clear stuff away in our hearts so that God's word can penetrate and begin to do some things in your soul. Lastly, and we'll close here, verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abided in his love. This is a really important verse, verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. So Jesus is saying, Father has loved me. What kind of love is that? God the Father's love for God the Son is the perfect love. It's complete love. And Jesus says, as Father has loved me, now I have loved you. That means the love that Jesus has for you is complete. It's perfect. You can't add anything more to make God love you more. Or God himself, Jesus himself cannot love you anymore. Some of us think that if you just get to heaven, you will fully, like God will love you more because you will have all your sins cleansed. That's wrong theology. Right now, today, God loves you completely. Jesus said, as Father has loved me, I have loved you. It's a perfect love. Like the imagery of vine and the branch, it's not the branch is trying to earn more God's love or trying to be attached to the vine more. No, Jesus says, I am the vine, you're the branch. We are already connected. I have already loved you with perfect, complete love. Jesus simply now says, now abide in that love. How do we do that? Well, Jesus says, obey my commandments. Obedience doesn't get God to love you anymore. It doesn't. But it does allow you to, like, sense, experience, abide in God's love for you. Does that make sense? Your obedience do not add anything to God's love for you. God loves you completely. It's a perfect love. But when we do obey, we position ourselves to experience and sense the love of God for us. What is that commandment? It's last thing, verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. And this is a whole nother sermon, but I'm going to pause here and just say this. abiding in Christ, if you kind of follow Jesus' thought, in some ways cannot be fully experienced and done on your own. It has to be done in a community, in a setting where you are loving one another. We abide. So let me just say, abide in Jesus this year. If you take Jesus' promise, if you abide in Him, His word, His love for you, you will bear fruit. You will change because the power that flows from Jesus will change your heart. And we collectively together as a church, let's abide in Christ as we love one another. And I believe that God can change us, our hearts, our desires, and use us to bear fruit for His kingdom in this world, in this region, here in the DMV and beyond. That's what we are after. And that's what God promises us. Okay? All right, I know that was pretty long, but let's pray and we'll close our time. If I can just summarize everything and just allow you to just pray just for, you know, a minute, and Pastor Carl and worship team will come and lead us into a time of response through songs.
Just keep it in G. Just follow this G.
This is so encouraging because Jesus is not telling us that we need to somehow be attached to Jesus. No, Jesus is saying, if you've trusted me, like, you're already connected to me. Like, I already love you. My word is already in you and you're clean. There's no need for you to do that. All He's asking, all He's commanding is, now abide in my love. Abide in my word. Abide in me. So that together, as you remain in me, that we can bear fruit. That I can display who I am to this world. That I can accomplish my purpose and will through you, my church, as you abide in me. So let's just land there and say, God, Jesus, this year, more than anything else, I want to abide in you.